Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
We're right back on for show number two here, everybody. It's Fantasy NBA Today. It's our streaming episode. I ran them back to back, mostly because I kind of hauled butt through the first one. Didn't want to get log jammed anywhere. It's not the time for those long philosophical discussions, although I did have a rant on yesterday's show. And plus, we've had some guests lately. It's kind of fun. I should probably consider doing that in the part of the season when everybody's still playing. I think half of you guys are probably done already, maybe more. In any event, this is an important day. So welcome to the show. Quick one here, probably 15, 20-minute range. At Dan Bespris over on social media, please do drop a follow over there. It's at DanBesBris. Again, if you're new, welcome. I love it when there's new folks. That makes my heart all a flutter. What we do on these, as I throw the streaming calendar up on the screen, we're going to give you the worst schedules today. We're going to give you the best schedules today. We'll try to give you some names that you could maybe target as you try to max things out. But before we even do that, the first thing I wanted to mention was check your schedule. Look at your team and find out what your tomorrow looks like. And then also look at what your Sunday looks like. There's a very reasonable chance, and again, with Yahoo, it's slightly less likely because there's only three bench slots. Yeah, you got IL slots, but there's three healthy bench slots in Yahoo Public Leagues. It's a very short bench. You probably have 10 of your 13 guys going tomorrow. But it's also possible that if you sort of hyper-loaded Tuesday, Thursday already, you might not have a full Friday, Sunday. Meaning, make sure that if you're making moves right now and you're, you know, thinking about getting off of someone on a Friday because it's a heavy day, heavy or not heavy is sort of inconsequential. It's binary. Are you full or are you not full tomorrow on Friday? If you're full on Friday, then you can afford to probably shift off of that day. But really, it's about being over full. Because if you have 10 guys going tomorrow, you don't need to move off of one of them. So whatever streaming you're doing today should be about one of two different things. Thing number one is, if you have 11 guys going tomorrow on Friday, that means someone's going to take a zero or just a non-playing. You can't start them. Simple way to say it is you can't start them. If you have someone you cannot start tomorrow, that's just not a game you're going to get to use, or you can't expect to. Yeah, someone could get ruled out at the last minute, and if you're Johnny on the spot, you might be able to shuffle them into your lineup, but the timing might not work out. The best way to attack it is to try to make it so you had exactly 10 games yesterday on Big Wednesday and exactly 10 games tomorrow on an equally large Friday. I don't think you're full on Sunday. I know you're not full today or Saturday, so it's really all about tomorrow at this point. If you have 11 guys tomorrow, try to figure out who your worst player is, or let's say your worst player with a bad schedule, and get the hell off of them. If you are not overloaded tomorrow, so there's no reason to abandon a player on Friday, then you're exclusively looking at the teams with the worst overall schedules, not just the ones that have a bad schedule because they play on an overload day. I bring this up as a preface, and I know it took us a couple minutes to get there, but it's pretty important. The reason I bring that up is the worst schedules of the week change slightly because of whether or not there's sort of a yes or no to the question that I just proposed to you. The worst schedules are Toronto, because they're off for 3 days and then they play on Sunday, and then Detroit, Indiana, Memphis, Phoenix, and Portland. There's five teams, making sure I get that right. Detroit, they play tomorrow and then they're done for the week. Indiana plays tomorrow and then they're done for the week. Memphis plays Saturday. That's their only game left remaining, so there's a slight tweak on for Memphis. And then Phoenix and Portland, they're tomorrow, and then they're done for the week also. Toronto, as we already mentioned, they're off for 3 days, and then they play on Sunday. So those are your bad schedules the rest of this week. One thing you'll notice that's in common with all of those teams is that they each only have one game left. If you are overloaded tomorrow, Detroit, Indiana, Phoenix, and Portland end up being possible zeros because tomorrow is the only day they play. If you have anybody that's even remotely fringy on those four teams I just mentioned, they got to go post haste because you could turn no games basically into two games. Teams that are playing today and Saturday, effectively. Or I haven't looked to see. Is there anybody going today and then Sunday? I don't think so. Doesn't matter. Basically, somebody who's not playing on Friday but still has two games left this week. If you are overloaded on Friday, but you don't have anybody on those four teams that I just mentioned that go tomorrow and then done for the week, look for teams that play Friday, Sunday, because that's a fairly typical schedule alignment the rest of this week. Orlando goes Friday, Saturday, which doesn't quite qualify because you'd still at least get one game left there. But effectively the same because you're probably not overloaded on Sunday. You're probably not full. You probably have like nine guys going, if I had to guess. But, you know, maybe you have a full Sunday also. So look for teams that are going Friday and some other day because now you're turning then effectively a one-game week because you're not getting to use their game on Friday into a two-game week by moving again to someone who goes today and Saturday. And then the flip side of that again is if you are not overloaded on Friday, then you're just looking at the bad schedules that I just lined out, which is the teams that actually only have one game left, and it doesn't matter which day it is. So all of those teams become kind of the same beast. Toronto, who's definitely worst again because they go on Sunday, and no other days. And then Detroit, Indiana, Phoenix, Portland, they go Friday, Sunday, or Friday only, I should say, and Memphis, who goes Saturday only. The only real difference between the two is if you really like the player you have on Detroit, Indiana, Phoenix, or Portland, you can let him play tomorrow, and then you could shift off to a team that still has one game left in the week. So there you turn a zero into a one, instead of turning a one into a two. So it has to do with, is the player you're picking up better than the player you're dropping on those teams? You could do the same thing with Memphis. Hold through Saturday and then drop on Sunday if you had somebody sort of fringy. If you wanted to get, and this is that math thing again, and it's super annoying to try to explain on a podcast because it's an extremely boring concept. But think of it this way. If you have a fringy player on, say, a good example here would be Portland, like Tumani Kamara, who's been pretty good lately, and you're looking at someone who plays on Sunday, and there's a lot of them, there's 20 teams, I think, that play on Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, that also play, say, Friday, like you're comparing Kamara, who only plays Friday, against someone else who plays Friday, Sunday. The question is that other guy you're targeting that plays Friday, Sunday, are they better or worse than Kamara? Because if they're better, you could make that move now or tomorrow or whatever. And if they're worse, then you wait until Saturday and then you make your pick either Saturday or Sunday based on what categorical needs you have in your head-to-head battle. So again, anytime you can hang on a little bit longer, you should. I would say that a situation where it's kind of mandatory to make a move today is, again, if you have somebody who's possibly getting a zero, or if you have a full Friday where you could turn one of those teams we just talked about, where you don't even need their player, into somebody who has two games left. So turn a zero into two. That's mandatory. However you get to that point, whether it's because, again, you're overloaded or because your guy is set to miss games due to injury. You got to turn a zero into a two. You can't take a zero for the rest of the week. That'll kill you. I don't think it's mandatory to turn a one into two today. So, again, with maybe the exception of Toronto, because you're sitting for 3 days and then on Sunday you don't have any flexibility, you can't turn that one into a two because you'd have to sit on it the rest of the way. But, like, again, those other teams we mentioned, Memphis, Detroit, Indiana, Phoenix, Portland, those teams all have one game before Sunday. The only problem there is if you end up trying to make 2-3 moves on Sunday all at the same time, you might go from not being overloaded to being overloaded. So if you have like 9 guys going on Sunday, you're not going to hold all of these other streamers because you make 2 moves on Sunday, you have 11 and you can't use them all. But if you have 1 slot open, you could do something now and do something on Sunday. That's kind of the way you're looking. As far as good schedules go, you kind of have to lean towards the teams that are playing on quality days because you know that you're not going to run into an overload scenario. So that's Atlanta. They go today and Saturday. Boston goes today and Saturday. New Orleans and Milwaukee, we've been talking about them for a week and a half. They go today and Saturday. And then Orlando goes Friday, Saturday. So they only have 1 quality game left. But at least you sort of know that you're going to get that one. But again, these are not massive advantages if you're not overloaded. Which players make the cut for this kind of thing? Not many. And I did something very smart last night in the Yahoo Fab League that I'm in, because you have to make your decisions the night before. And I dropped Jose Alvarado yesterday. It was a crazy sequence of events, and I'm sure you guys can all relate. Yesterday in the afternoon, I was trying to figure out how the hell I had Max Drews and I had Mitchell Robinson on my IL in a head-to-head league. And I had to get them activated, because if I didn't, I couldn't make any moves while they're healthy in an IL slot. So at like 3:58, I'm waiting. Finally, I'm like, screw it. I got to get Max Drews in. Who's my drop? Well, Alvarado was questionable for today with his core issue, and I thought, you're done. Get out of here. So I dropped Jose, and I immediately moved Max Drews into his spot in my lineup. And then, what the hell did I do after that? And then I went back, and I had 30 more minutes to make my next call. I was waiting to see if Anthony Davis was in or out. And so Anthony Davis got ruled out. I pulled him to the bench, dropped Brandon Pajemski, and threw Mitch Robinson into AD's slot in the lineup. Oh, because Alvarado wasn't playing yesterday. I didn't actually have to bench him. I just got him out of the way. I threw Strus into Pajemski's spot, moved Brandon to the bench, waited, then dropped him when AD got ruled out so that I could put Robinson into AD's slot, and I had a full roster yesterday. So, ultimately, it's kind of unfortunate that I had to drop Pajemski to get these guys out. I probably would have ultimately rather had him playing than Mitchell Robinson. Maybe I should have just dropped Mitch Rob, but I figured I would replace the big man stats. In any event, it worked out because I got guys in that were healthy, and now Alvarado got ruled out, so I didn't end up losing anything on that drop. All that to say, Jose's not an option for today anymore. We've already talked about the Bucks and the Pelicans options for weeks on this show. Beasley for the Bucks, Najee Marshall, Larry Nance on the Pelicans side, those are the easy ones. But now that we are into a situation where there are 2 other teams that have quality game days, Boston and Atlanta, that brings Sam Hauser and Peyton Pritchard into the mix. Boston might have all their guys back, but those guys would still be probably, they'd be okay, not great. And then for Atlanta, DeAndre Hunter, if he's floating around, if he's not, Bruno Fernando, Vit Krejci are 2 guys that are doing sort of enough, where again, if these are the pickups, all the names I just listed, Beasley probably a little bit better than some of the dudes out there. And if Boston has anybody out, then Hauser and Pritchard probably a little bit better than who you were streaming. But again, if you were sitting on like a Tumani Kamara, you just hold through tomorrow and then make the move on Saturday. So get the better streaming game over the next 2 days if you're not overloaded. And if you are, get off the 0 and turn it into a 2. And that, good friends, is how you build your roster for today. Quick streaming questions from the chat room. What up, Dan? Enjoyed the interviews. I watched Dr. A and Kamala's show earlier today. Good luck in your finals. Thanks, Matt. Yeah, legends. I got to get Kamala on the show. I think I reached out to him a couple years ago, but I don't know if I heard back. I bet I would now. I feel like he knows me now. I think. I don't know. I think. I've never really spoken to Kamala, which is weird because I've talked to Dr. A a million times. Anyway. Kenny says, I'm thinking of replacing Caris LeVert for tomorrow, even though I don't gain a game. Who's a good Friday replacement for 9-cat? Jonathan Isaac, Tumani Kamara, Marvin Bagley. I would not spend a move if you're not gaining a game. I just wouldn't do it. It's not worth it. You gain a couple of stats probably by going to, frankly, any of those three guys over LeVert. But it's also possible that Karras just has a better game. And it's possible that Donovan Mitchell doesn't come back tomorrow, even though he's targeting it. He might need one more. We don't know. There's a lot of things that could go wrong there where, I mean, you could pick up Jonathan Isaac and he might not play. You could pick up Marvin Bagley and he might get benched for Denny Avdia. There's no guarantee that the move you make there pans out in a way that, you know, find someone on your team that has a worse schedule, and that's the direction you got to go. Don't spend moves in head-to-head if you're not gaining games. I am so bent on that, unless you're getting like a superstar-level player. I had a bunch of people in my Twitter mentions that were like, oh, I did this, and then I got screwed by it. And I'm like, yeah, you did a thing I specifically said don't do. People that are making moves to just switch what player they have on a particular night, it almost always burns them. Not every time. Sometimes you sort of catch lightning in a bottle. But play the odds here, people. Get the max games played and let the odds tip in your favor most of the time. Who's the better player between these two? Deuce McBride or Cole Anthony? Give me McBride. Doesn't sound like OG is back yet. Is Chet Holmgren getting less minutes from here on out? No, he fouled out in 18 minutes yesterday, so that was a fluke. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. And that's your streaming show today, everybody. Good luck. Make your moves if you turn a zero into a two. Otherwise, grade it out. Figure out if the guy you're picking up is better than the one you're dropping. Make sure, and this is basically if you're turning a one-game week into a two-game week, figure out if it's going to make sense. If you can hold on till Saturday or Sunday, it's better. Then you turn a zero into a one, which is the same as turning a one into a two, but you have a better idea of what stats you need and what players are healthy. Good luck today, everyone. I'll see you guys over on Twitter. It's @DanVespris. Toodles.